The reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Shall we pray as we look at God's word together? Let's ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, we thank you for this time where we can look at your word. And again, we ask for your help. We pray you'd speak to us and work in us and change us that we might live for your glory. Amen. So what does it mean to live out the gospel? What does it mean to live out the gospel? What I mean is, how do we live like people who know the good news about Jesus? What does that look like in our lives? Now, that's the question that Paul, who wrote this letter, wants the Philippians to think about. That's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. Or as he puts it, he put it like this, back in chapter 1, verse 27, he said, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." So he's saying your life should really fit with the good news of Jesus that you believe. They should go together. Now, last week with David, we saw that part of that involves standing up for the gospel, even when it is hard, even when people oppose you. But today we're going to think about how believing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, should affect the way we relate to one another. We've got two things to think about. The first is this: pass on the blessings of the gospel. Okay, pass on the blessings of the gospel. In other words, the good things you know about Jesus, don't just keep them to yourself, but pass them on to one another. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some of the verses again, verses 1 and 2 again. And what I want you to notice is that it all sort of hinges on an if that goes to a then. It goes from an if to a then. So if this happens, then that should follow. We're familiar with this in life, aren't we? So if you finish playing with a Lego, then put it all away. If it starts raining, then take the washing off the line. If you're making a cup of tea, then I'd like one as well, please. Okay, so we know if then, we know how it works, don't we? So watch out for the if, there are several, and then the then with what follows. Verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Okay, so you can see the point Paul's making, can't you? If you have these things, if you enjoy these things, then do this. So and his point is, if you know the blessings of the gospel, the good things about being a Christian, then share them. Then pass them on. Don't just kind of keep them to yourself. Make sure that your brothers and sisters can enjoy them as well. So it's a little bit like this. So yesterday, as just mentioned in the prayers, we had the Jubilee Fun Day over at the Village Hall on the field. The Lord gave us nice weather and we had a lot of fun, and we gave away a lot of lollipops. We had a human fruit machine, which was a sight to behold, and the prizes were lollipops. We gave away loads, but gloriously we've ended up with loads. So I've got a massive basket. Look at all these lollipops. And I've just been thinking to myself, lucky, lucky me. Isn't that great? So I got to be there. I come home, big basket of lollipops. I mean, these could last me, I don't know, a couple of years, I reckon. Do you think that's good? Do you think, let's see if anyone think, is it good for me to have, do you think I should have all these lollipops? What do you think, Hugo, what do you reckon? What do you don't think so? What do you think I could do instead? Share them with other people. Hugo is absolutely got it right. That's right. I mean, it's a bit daft, isn't it? I've got these good things, and not to pass them on, not to share them, would be ridiculous. So I'm going to do that. So at the end, if you would like, and if your mum and dad are happy for you to have a lollipop, then you can collect one from the basket at the end of the service. But that's what Paul's saying here. If you've got these good things, then make sure you share them with others. Pass them on. So we're going to look at what are some of the kind of good gospel things that we enjoy that we can share with others. I've got some here, and I've done them in sort of sweetie form. So some of the good things, the sweet things of the gospel that we enjoy. So the first one that Paul mentions, you can see it in verse 1, he says, if any comfort from his love. So the love of God, any comfort from God's love. So I've got a nice, lovely sweet there. So I'm going to put it up there. If that's something that we enjoy, we should pass it on. One of the most wonderful things about the gospel is knowing that God loves us, isn't it? I mean, that's just part of the glorious message of the Bible, that God loves us. And we know it for sure because Jesus went to die for us. Not because there is anything good in us, not because we are particularly lovely. In fact, naturally, what are we like? Naturally, we push God away. We push God out to the fringe of our lives. And we say, no, I run my life my way. But how did God respond to us? Well, Paul says elsewhere, God demonstrates his love to us in this. While we were still sinners pushing him away, Christ died for us. And what a comfort it is for us to know that. Isn't that comfort to know that God loves us in spite of what we're like, and in spite of how we treat him, and in spite of how we treat one another? It is a great comfort, isn't it? When we know that we mess up, when we know that we do wrong. You know, when we feel guilty, what do? We look to the cross, and we know God loves us, in spite of what we're like. When we feel anxious, or lonely, or heartbroken, or afraid, we look to the cross, and we're reminded of God's amazing love and commitment to us. Do you ever doubt how much God loves you? What do we do? We look to the cross where Jesus goes to the cross with his arms open wide. He says, this is how much I love you. The gospel is the most wonderful comfort, isn't it, to sinners like us? It should be a comfort to us each day. But if you know the comfort of God's love, then don't just keep it to yourself. Pass it on. Pass it on. Let's share it with one another. As Paul says, be like-minded, having the same love. So let's encourage one another as we point one another to Jesus. Let's be willing to remind one another of the good news of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, because we often need reminding, don't we? And let's also show the same love to one another that God has shown to us. God's amazing love is something to pass on. But there's more. If you look at verse 1, what's the next good thing that we enjoy? If any, fellowship with the Spirit. If any, fellowship with the Spirit. So I've got a little kind of sort of family group on that sweetie there. This is the blessing of being united to the Lord and his family. So, when you believe in Jesus, you don't just believe in him, you belong to him. So you're united with him. You're united to Jesus. You're part of his family. You're one of his children. We are united with one another. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, we are all part of God's family. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? We all share, if you're a Christian, we all share a father in heaven. Now just have a little look at the people around you. They won't mind. Just have a quick peek. Look at the people around you. What are you seeing? You're not just seeing a bunch of people in a building. You are seeing your Christian family, your brothers and sisters. You're seeing uncles and aunts and parents and grandparents. And you're seeing people who are committed to you. You're seeing people who pray for you and who will be glad to help you. You're seeing people who may be very glad to welcome you into their homes. Children, do you know, children, that there are people here who pray for you every day? Did you know that? Tom was praying for those of you who've got exams. Those of you who've got those coming up, there are people here who will be praying for you when you take your exams. Isn't it brilliant, being part of God's family? And I wonder, have you ever experienced that? I'm sure you have. Just think back. Have you ever been made to feel really welcome in church? Have you been made to feel at home? Have you had someone make sure that you've got a coffee or a biscuit after the service? Have you had someone who's invited you for a meal? Have you had someone who's sent you a card? Have you had someone who's just treated you like family? Well, if you know that blessing, then share it. Do the same for others. Paul says, be like-minded, have the same love, be one in spirit. So you could do the same, couldn't you? You could treat someone else like their family. If you see someone who's new, you could make them feel welcome. You could go and say hello. Is there somebody that you could pray for? Maybe you chat to someone after the service, you find out about something going on in their life, and say, actually, I'll pray about that. That's a great thing to say, to do for somebody else. Could you open your home to somebody else? If you know anything of what it means to be part of God's family, then be family for others. And particularly, can I say, particularly if they are in need, because that is another good thing that we experience. What does Paul describe it as? The comfort. No. Hang on, I've got to find the right one. Someone's going to tell me in a moment. If any tenderness and compassion. So here we've got like a first aid type first sign. That's the next good thing that we enjoy. If any tenderness and compassion. Many of you will know this, that the time that you really find out about your church family is when you're going through a hard time. Maybe we are ill. Maybe we are just struggling. Maybe we're going through a sad time for some reason. And if we let our church family know, and you do need to do that, then what happens? We receive cards. We get kind text messages and phone calls. People drop round. People come and just sit with us and keep us company. People drop off meals. I have to say, over the years I've been here, I've lost count of the times that people have gone through hard times and then I've spoken to them afterwards or met with them and they have said, oh, church family have been amazing. I just hear that again and again and again. It's good to hear that tenderness and compassion that we experience through our church family. And it's wonderful, isn't it, to receive that kind of care. To know anything of that is wonderful. So again, if you have experienced anything of that at all, the kindness and care of the church family, then pass it on. Think of how could I do that for others when they are in need. If you know someone who's struggling for any reason, think, now, what can I do for them? Don't just assume, oh, I'm sure someone else is doing it. Think, oh, what could I do for them? Or maybe ask us, is anyone helping out that person who's struggling at the moment? So could you call around? Could you just pick up the phone? Could you pray for them? Could you pray for them and then write them a card to say, I wanted you to know I'm praying for you. That's really encouraging. Could you drop some food around to them? Could you help with something practical? Again, if you know these blessings of the gospel, then pass it on. Do you see? It's a simple thing, isn't it? But if we know these good things, we need to share them with one another. It's part of what it means to live out the gospel. Now, we're going to think a bit more about that in just a moment. But first, we are going to sing again. So if our musicians would like to get ready. It's another song on the same theme we were thinking about earlier, about our King, the Lord Jesus, who, though he's the King of all glory, showed his humility in coming down to serve us, meekness and majesty. So as the music begins, let's stand and we'll sing. So what does it mean to live out the gospel? We've already thought about that. First, it means sharing the blessings of the gospel that we've enjoyed. Don't keep them to yourself. Share them with others. The problem is, though, I don't know about you, but if I'm honest, I don't always like sharing. I don't, are you like me? Is it, am I the only one? I just don't always like sharing. And the Bible says there's a big part of us that is like that, that always thinks of ourselves and doesn't want to think of others. And so Paul addresses this head on as he says, think of what would benefit others. Think of what would benefit others. I'm going to read verse 3 again. Just listen to how clearly Paul makes this point. I don't think he could make it any clearer. Verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you, that's every single one of you, okay? Every single one of you, no exceptions. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's very clear, isn't it? God knows exactly what we're like, doesn't he? Do nothing out of selfishness. Or do nothing just to make yourself seem great out of vain conceit. But be humble. Think others before me. Think them before me. And every one of us should think not just about what I need, but what will benefit others, what will be best for them. Paul's very clear, because it doesn't come naturally to us to serve others, to think of others. But God can help us. You know, today is Pentecost Sunday, a day when we remember that God sent his Spirit into the world, and God sends his Spirit into our hearts, and he can change us. We're not on our own. If you think, oh, I'm just kind of too selfish, I'm never going to change. No, God is committed to changing us. He's promised he will. And by his Spirit, he can change our hearts. And one of the ways that he can do that is by giving us examples of those who serve others with their lives. And I have to say that on this Jubilee weekend, one great example that the Lord has given us is our Queen. There's the sort of Jubilee logo, which I think someone did a terrific job on this year. 70 years that she has been our Queen. But what an example she is. And she is a great example. So much so, we've got a gift for our children. If you're in Sunday club or younger, then we've got a gift for sort of each family with children of that age, which is this book, which has been produced, Queen Elizabeth II, The Queen Who Chose to Serve. And it's a lovely book, which tells us some of the details of her life and speaks again about her Christian faith. And as we heard earlier on that video, she just had a very clear focus right from the beginning that she needed to serve in her role. Do you remember? So it was the year, well, she sort of instantly became queen, but when her father died. But then it was a year later that they had the coronation. But before the coronation, she said, we heard it earlier, she said, please pray for me that God would help me so that I would faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life. Right from the beginning, she wanted to serve God and to serve her country. And I don't know if you've been following all of the celebrations and all the interviews there have been over the last few days, but it's very striking, isn't it? Just how many people have used that word, serve. I've just thanked her for her faithful service. So it seems that in the Queen's mind, she isn't Queen for her sake, but for others. She's been a great example, and she still is. But of course, our Queen, as we've heard, is a Christian, and she knows we've got an even better and much greater example, the example of Jesus himself. So you can look to your Queen, but what would she say? She would say, look to your King. Look to your King in heaven. Now, we're going to get more into this great passage in the middle of Philippians next week, but let me just read a few verses from verse 5. If you've got your Bible there, do follow them, because they're great verses. So Paul says, you remember that we struggle with this attitude of putting others first. Well, notice what Paul says from verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even death on a cross. He is our great example. So Jesus was the King of Kings in heaven. He is one with a crown on his head in heaven, the King of Kings. But yet, what did he do? He's the one who took off his crown as he came into the world. He didn't, Paul says, he didn't think of it as something to be grasped. So even though he was king in heaven before, he didn't kind of hold on to that and think, no, I'm not going to come and help. No, he took off his crown and he came down. He came down into the world as a human being so that he might serve us. He became a servant. And he didn't just think of his own glory, but what was best for others. For Jesus, being a king didn't mean a procession to a palace, but going to death on a cross. We look to our King, who wore a crown of thorns as he went to the cross to serve us. And he did that for you and for me, didn't he? He did that for you and for me. And if we are his people, then Paul says we should be like him, have the same mindset. It's not all about me, but we are willing to serve others. We don't find it easy to put aside self-interest. We don't find it easy to put others first. But praise God for your King. Praise God for your King who did just that for us. And praise God that he has promised to work in us, that by his Spirit he can help us and change us so that we would be people who are willing to serve others and bring much glory to him as we do so. Well, let's pray that he'd help us to do that. We need his help, don't we? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess we very easily think only of ourselves. And so we pray that you would make us more like Jesus, your Son, who came to serve us. And as we know the blessings of the gospel, would we be glad to share them with one another? For we ask that in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.